You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very, very much for listening on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. That's the best place to get in touch with the program. However, joining us now on the line, every now and then we like to get him on, very informative, Secretary of State John Merrill. Secretary, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, doing great, my friend. I hope you are.
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us here. We'll just kind of get started off a little casual here. How you feeling about Alabama football this coming season?
Lord, Jeff, it's like an abundance of riches. When you look at what has happened, it's crazy. Not only do we still have a top recruiting class, as we've grown accustomed to, but we also have an unbelievable exchange in getting all these kids that are transferred. And, you have to ask yourself, if you're a wideout especially or a tight end and you have designs to go to the National Football League, why would you want the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback throwing to you as you get ready to distinguish yourself among your colleagues and peers as you get ready to go to the NFL Combines next year? And I think that's what we're seeing a number of these kids doing from other institutions of higher learning. So, of course, we're the beneficiary of that, and we're just very, very fortunate to have the talent that we have and to have the coaching that we have.
Yeah, like you said, an abundance of riches. I could just admire it from afar and probably curse it at some point. But anyway, enough of that. Secretary, let's get into it here. We're a weekend, some change away from the primary. How you feeling? Have you put out a turnout model? Can you give us some kind of some insights into that?
Jeff, I feel really good about where we are as far as our preparation is concerned. And all 68 of our probate judges and 68 of our circuit clerks and 67 sheriffs and 201 registrars are working extraordinarily hard to make sure that the thousands of poll workers in our 1,980 polling sites are prepared for the administration of the election on May 24th. Of course, leading up to that, we ended our voter registration efforts just on Monday at close of business and at 11:59:59 for electronic registration. Our deadlines for absentee participation will be next week on the 17th if you're applying by mail. If you're applying in person, the 19th, those have to be returned if they're returned in person no later than close of business on the 23rd, and they have to be returned in the mail no later than noon on election day. I think we're going to have somewhere between 28 and 32% of our eligible voters, which today, Jeff, is 3,640,520 of those folks going to the polls and casting their ballot for the candidate of their choice. Of course, that is a combined Democrat and Republican primary participation number.
Compare that to historical trends, or is that about where you would expect to be?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I arrive at that total, because of what we've seen in similar election cycles where you've had a governor running for re-election, where you've had an open Senate seat, and you've had maybe one or two congressional seats that are drawing attention and competition, even though it's not really significant competition for those members at this time. Another thing, Jeff, that we've seen, which is why we may be on the lower end of that number, is there's not a whole lot of competitive legislative races that are out there right now. And there's not an inordinate upswing in the sheriff's races, whereas you'll recall in 2018, we had a number of sheriffs that were caught up in that food money conversation where people felt like some of our senior law enforcement officers in our 67 counties were taking advantage of that food allocation money. There were a couple of them that got beat because of that, and you're not seeing that. We do have some district attorney offices that are up, but, you know, the probate judges, the circuit clerks, the revenue commissioners, tax assessors, tax collectors, they're not up this time. And so you only have once every 12 years where that cycle comes about where all of those people are running at the same time. So that may be another reason for our numbers to be in the 28% to 30% instead of the higher end 32% up.
That's interesting about the sheriff's races, and not because you're right. You're not seen as just kind of bouncing around the state. You don't see as much excitement there, and we're not in the throes of the whole controversy with the jail food fund. What do you mentioned? Not a lot of competitive legislative races, but I think maybe there's obviously there's the Butler seat up in North Alabama. Watley always has a lot on his hands, and then you got a bunch of open seats there. But do you typically see in these cycles where those legislative seats are on the ballot? Does it ever vary from what it traditionally is?
Well, it does, and I think the last time that you saw a significant turn was in 2010 when I was elected to the legislature, but we didn't see it in the primaries as much as we saw it in the general. And the same kind of conversation I think will be held now, but we're just about at our margins with the democratically controlled seats and the Republican controlled seats. So there's a very few number of those that are competitive that have the potential to change, even though the nominee may change after May 24th or the June 21st runoff. The likelihood of the body changing membership where that seat is flipped is not very high.
Secretary, preparations for something like this, and you mentioned those turnout numbers, and you mentioned you felt pretty good about it. Are we kind of past the problem with the shortages? I guess COVID, you had maybe some shortages in some places for poll workers and necessarily support staff. Are we in a better place than we were 2 years ago?
Well, we're in a better place for a number of reasons, but one of the things that we have to continue to do is to refresh our poll worker role. We have to make sure, Jeff, that we've got new recruits coming in, because that is a way that a number of our senior citizens serve, is by going back and working the polls. And so we have to have younger folks that are giving their time, their energy, and their talents to that purpose. Now, you'll recall that in 2019, we actually passed legislation that enabled 16, 17-year-old students to be able to work the polls as intern poll workers, and they could do everything except handle a ballot. Now, if you're 18 years of age and a registered voter, of course, you can work the polls just like those that are 80 years old. But we think that introducing that opportunity to young people has been very, very helpful and will continue to be helpful in the future.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of getting new blood in there. Tell people they want to get involved with that. I know you've had some spots out encouraging people and seen some reports around the state, but how does one get involved if they wanted to be a volunteer?
Great question, Jeff. We want them to feel comfortable reaching out to their local probate judge in their county. If they can't find it by contacting information or looking in their phone book, if they still have one there in their county, then they can look at our website, alabamavotes.gov, and be connected to the probate judge there in each one of the 68 jurisdictions in the 67 counties to make sure that they are communicating with the right person, that they are identified, they're appropriately trained, and then assigned a location to go work. You know, another thing we did back in 19, Jeff, was pass legislation that enabled people to work outside their local jurisdiction. For example, if you're in Mobile County and you live in Satsuma, you could go work in Citronelle. Or if you work in Mobile proper, you could go work down in any other part of the county that would be, say, down in Dauphin Island. it just depends on where the need would be and where Judge Davis would assign you to go.
Something has come up, it may have been with Representative Allen, I can't remember, but I know this comes up from time to time. Mike Lindell's been out and about talking about our voting machines and their connectivity to the internet. Now, look, there's no modem on them, and they don't have the ability to do that, as you pointed out numerous times for these guys. But whenever we have these discussions, they tell me, well, Jeff, just because they don't have a modem doesn't mean that the machine couldn't have one installed someday, and that would be problematic if you had the wrong leadership. What's the story on that, as far as you could tell?
Jeff, great question. Again, as you always ask them, and I think it's important to note, and you've heard me say numerous times, that Alabama does not have the ability to have our voting machines connected to the internet. All of our machines are new. They've all been constructed and purchased since I've been the secretary in the last 7 years, 3 months, 21 days. And we have made sure that when the RFP was created and we sent that request for a proposal to the vendors, that we indicated to them we do not want a modem component available in this machine. They actually did exactly what we asked them to do. So there's no way for that to happen. If a future secretary wants to have a modem in those voting machines, those tabulators, then that individual is going to have to go back and have those machines rebuilt, reconstructed, and recreated in order to make that happen. We felt like that was the safest and most secure way to ensure transparency, accountability, and integrity in the process. And so our machines are not able to be connected to the internet. They do not have a modem component, and they will not have one.
Is there a Bluetooth component to any of these machines?
There is a Bluetooth component connected to the electronic poll book. Now, as you know, the electronic poll books are self-contained instruments that simply have a preloaded list of people who are on the voter rolls that are actually prepared prior to election day. So when people check in, we know who those people are. It cannot be modified or updated when it is in use. It has to be pre-stored. That transfer of data simply indicates that an individual has checked in and then they can't vote at another location.
Is there any way that could be exploited as far as you could tell?
No, simply because you can't modify the data that's contained there. You don't add or delete data. You simply transfer information about whether somebody that's a part of that list has already participated. And then we also have paper lists that are used in each one of those 1,980 polling sites as a backup safeguard. If there was a distortion or if there was a change, that would be noted whenever the registrars go over the voter list and give voter history credit after the election takes place. All that occurs within 7 days after the election is over. That's how you know who voted, and you don't know who they voted for, but you know whether or not they participate.
Secretary, I know you haven't endorsed anybody or any of that, but just kind of your thoughts on the direction of the race for your seat. Are they talking about the right stuff? Do you think the right issues are coming up, the right concerns? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I think there are a number of issues that will always require attention. You can never do enough work on election integrity, security, and transparency. We've gone light years from where we were when I was a candidate and then where we are today. But one of the things that we have to do is to remain diligent because with things continuing to change, you always want to make sure that you are prepared. I tell you, one of the things that I don't think is getting enough attention at all by any one of the four candidates, probably Jim Ziegler has spoken about this more than the other three combined, is 65% of everything that goes on in the Office of the Secretary of State is directly related to business services. And only 30% of what goes on is related to elections, and the other 5% is the other 999 responsibilities that we have in the office. And I think it's important to note, of course, you know this, Jeff. You know that as of today, since I became the secretary, we saved the state $3,313,119.95 cash money. But you also know that we were well behind in being able to serve the needs of people who were using those services. But for the last 5 years, 6 months, and 3 weeks today, we've been at same day on business filing. So we're not moving at the speed of government anymore. We're moving at the speed of business. And that's something that whoever follows our administration is going to have to give attention to, or they'll slip back where they were before. And that is not good, because that delays the creation of jobs. It creates delays the creation of transfer of resources. It delays the boom in the economy that Alabama has seen and that we continue to see.
It's just making sure the right person stays, gets in there, and doesn't tinker with the system too much to slow it down. Because you're right, it used to take forever to get a random business license, and now you get lot of that is computerized, and it's a much more expedited process.
Absolutely.
Secretary, as far as that goes, you know, there's always room for improvement. What would you say needs to be an area that maybe we ought to focus on for the future in that office?
Well, I think we have to continue to concentrate on the business services area, because it makes money for the state of Alabama. It also helps provide jobs for the people of the state of Alabama. It contributes to the robust economy that we're currently experiencing. I think that's first and foremost. I think number two, we have to make sure that we're given the attention that needs to be given to election administration and all of the work in election administration that is a consistent, of consistent importance as we move forward to continue to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat in our state. And we have to work with other states to make sure that we are helping them solve problems that they have as well. But you always have got to be aware that the people that are on the team in the Office of the Secretary of State, and we were obviously not a team when I took the position, that they know they are appreciated, that they are continuously reminded that they're doing a good job when they are, when they're not, that they need to go. As we have helped a number of people leave the office and find something else to do out of state government since I've been there. But it's a constant process. I know you hate for me to use that word, Jeff, but it is a process. And you don't have a quality team that is efficient, effective, and successful unless you're concentrating on that process and making sure people are doing what they're supposed to do the way they're supposed to do it.
Secretary, after you give us your county count and the number of voters you've registered, tell folks where they can find out more about your office.
Absolutely. Of course, I just mentioned a second ago about our total numbers, which I'll cover again. But since January the 19th of 15, as of today, we've registered 2,040,212 new voters in the state of Alabama. And we now have 3,638,520 registered voters in the state of Alabama. Per capita, no state in the union has done what we've done in that same period of time. But if people are interested in knowing more about what's going on in our office, they can reach out on our website at alabamavote.gov. They can also check their voter registration status at that location or by visiting our mobile app at Vote for Alabama. They can call our office at 334-242-7200, or they can call me on my cell at 334-328-2787.
Secretary, we always appreciate it. Let's talk again soon.
Jeff, you're outstanding. I appreciate your time. Y'all take care.
You do the same. Secretary of State John Merrill there on the line. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.